Happy Sunday and Merry Christmas. We are the week before Christmas, and I want to wish everyone a very blessed Christmas time. The content of this program, Reflections, is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, and again, the name of the program is Reflections, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. And for the next half hour, we're going to be reading some scripture, but as well as an article written by a gentleman by the name of Dr. David Teitelbaum, who's a pastor in the state of Texas at a church called Christ Chapel Bible Church. And he gives us some interesting perspective of the prophecies of Christ found in the Old Testament. And then we'll spend some time in the New Testament reading about Jesus' birth. Before we begin, we'll certainly start with prayer, and we ask that Heavenly Father, during this time, as we celebrate the birth of your Son Jesus Christ, your Son the Messiah, your Son the Savior of the world, let us have joyful hearts. Let us be anticipating, Lord, the call that you have for us to look upon Jesus adoringly, to put our whole hearts into him, to put our faithfulness into him, that we may be righteous with that faithfulness, that we may have a relationship with you, Father, and Father, that we may become new beings that separate us, that create a holiness, that we may be separated from the rest of the world. Father, may we walk in your light because you are light. And Lord, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit. We want to thank you for the North Carolina Reading Service and the organization and its volunteers, the people that donate money to support the programs. And Lord, we certainly thank you for our listening audience. What a great group of people. We thank them and their families and their friends, and we ask that everyone who hears your words today are blessed by your words this day. In Jesus' name we pray. We are accustomed to read a book called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young, and we're going to do that. When I joined the ranks of humanity, born into the humblest of conditions, my glory was hidden from all but a few people. Occasionally, streaks of glory shone out of me, especially when I began to do miracles. Toward the end of my life, I was taunted and tempted to display more of my awesome power than the Father's plan permitted. I could have called down legions of angels to rescue me at any point. Imagine the self-control required of a martyr who could have freed himself at will. All of this was necessary to provide the relationship with me that you now enjoy. Let your life become a praise song to me by proclaiming my glorious presence in this world. This is supported by three readings. First is John chapter 2, verse 11, and it reads, "This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him." Luke 23, verses 35 through 36 says, "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar." And then Psalm 92, verses 1 through 5 reads, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! How profound are your thoughts." Again, that's Psalm 92, verses 1 through 5. Just beautiful words from David. So, like I said, I thought being the Sunday before Christmas, it'd be great to kind of peel back the onion a little bit about the many, many, many prophecies that exist about Jesus Christ, but specifically about his birth. So, I'm going to read this from Dr. David Teitelbaum, and please clear your minds and your hearts as I read these words, and then we'll read some scripture, and then we're probably going to be running a little short on a lot of content today, so we'll probably read a couple of Psalms or Proverbs at the end of the program before we conclude. So again, I want to be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas week, and I hope your hearts are prepared for the glory of Christ to be in your lives and the lives of your families and loved ones. Dr. David Teitelbaum. The Hebrew Bible, known to Christians as the Old Testament, introduces the concept of a Messiah, an anointed one of God who will come to usher in an era where all people of earth will live together harmoniously and righteously. The Jews believe that this idea is implied in the story of creation. According to rabbinical thinking, God wanted us to live with him in a paradise, so he created the Garden of Eden. Human sin required us to be expelled, yet when Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, God did not destroy Eden, rather he maintained it and is waiting for a time when we will be worthy of returning. According to Judaism, the Messianic age is the time when the Messiah will bring us back to the kind of world that God originally intended. This time is described by a number of prophets, and further references to the Messiah can be found in the book of Psalms. A large number of these have to do with the future birth of the Messiah, which Christians recognize to be Christmas. Before reviewing some of these, let us engage in an imaginary exercise to help us appreciate both the astounding accuracy of these writings and the equally astonishing unlikelihood of them coming to pass. So clear your minds. I'm going to read this little imaginary exercise. Imagine that in Raleigh, North Carolina, some ancient scrolls were uncovered, written 600 to 1,000 years ago. Some were written before the discovery of America by Columbus, and all were written before the American Revolution. The scrolls predict that someone in our generation will be born who is the direct lineage of George Washington. This person would be descended from a long line of important founders of America, all of whom were known to be from Virginia. The scrolls further reveal that the person would be born in Wake County, North Carolina, in the small town of Zebulon. Miraculously, his mother would be a virgin. And at the same time of his birth, dignitaries from all over the world would mysteriously know about him and would come to worship him and present him with precious gifts, believing that he was a very special person in God's eyes. In addition, our imaginary prophecies would also reveal that as a result of this child being born, local ruling tyrants would make an attempt to murder him. This would result in the deaths of many other innocent children whose mothers would weep over their loss. To protect this special child from the tyrants, his father would take him to another country, later bringing him back. This future child would grow up to lead a religious revolution. You have that? You have that in your mind? Now imagine that all of this came to be true in our lifetime, fulfilling the predictions of the centuries-old scrolls, as astronomically unlikely as the creation, preservation, and fulfillment of these written prophecies might seem. This is a fair parallel to what would have been in the ancient Hebrew scripture prophecies about Jesus. In the Holy Bible, there are approximately 400 prophecies about Jesus Christ. 400. His birth, his life, and his death. Today, on the Sunday before Christmas, let's focus on a few of these prophecies concerning his birth. And there are 10 of them. So again, I want to paint the picture. Think about these Jewish people. They heard these things, and now it's time. We've heard these things. And can you imagine something like that happening in our day? No, probably people would not believe. Probably people would doubt. But that's why Jesus came, to take that away, to give us that relationship. So we learn. We know Jesus was of Jewish descent and therefore was a seed of Abraham. In Genesis 22:18, we are told that through Abraham's offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. And Christians believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. We also know that he is from the line of Jacob, Abraham's grandson. Numbers 24:17 says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Prophecy number two. Prophecy number three says, from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, we know he is from the line of Jesse, the father of the king of David. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. From Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, we know that he is from the line of the king of David. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Prophecy number 4. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. This is reaffirming that Jesus is from the line of King David. And this was spoken by Samuel. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you. You will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So these prophecies are not about one-time events. These are about eternity. Listen to the word, the kingdom forever. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And then the prophecy from Micah 5:2, we know that he was born into the tribe of Judah in the region of Ephrath in the town of Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Again, referencing Isaiah 7, verse 14, we know that he was born from a virgin. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel means God with us, and indicates the divinity of Jesus. That Jesus would be worshipped by shepherds from the desert, and that foreign kings would present gifts to him, it's revealed in Psalm 72, verses 9 and 10. May the desert tribes bow before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and the distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him, and all nations serve him. And then when Jesus was born, King Herod slaughtered a number of children in an attempt to kill him. This was predicted in Jeremiah 31:15. A voice is heard in the Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And the last prophecy comes from Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. So here's just a series of scriptures. Again, just 10 out of over 400 about Jesus Christ. These particular to his birth. There are several more, but I thought this was a very interesting read from Dr. David Tietelbaum. And I want to thank him for his wisdom that he shared in this reading found on the internet. So let's go ahead and pick up some scripture, some New Testament scripture about the birth of Jesus. And those, there's four Gospels, of course, only two of which actually go into detail about Jesus' birth. And that would be Matthew and Luke. So we'll pick up with Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And of course, we just read that prophecy coming from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. We pick up verse 24. When Jesus woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet was written." And again, that comes from Jeremiah 23:5. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And that is the birth of Christ told by Matthew, chapter 1:18 through verse 2, through chapter 2, verse 15. We'll now look towards Luke and read his interpretation of the birth of Christ, his inspired words of the Holy Spirit. Again, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We begin there. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called a Son of God, the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.'" "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got up, got ready, and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. I'm going to pick it up with chapter 2 and go into the birth of Jesus. The rest of chapter 1 goes into the birth of John the Baptist and the story of that. Chapter 2, verse 1. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see these things that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to be circumcised, he was named Jesus, and then the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time of the purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to all your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what he had just said. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew up and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Well, there you have it. The biblical prophecy and the biblical profession of Christ's birth. Many prophets, through the Holy Spirit, knew that Jesus was going to be given to the world as a Savior, to save us from our sins, to make us right with God. It's up to us now. God has offered for us. God has given us. God has invited us to come into his family. And the only action we have to say is yes. Yes, Father, I believe. Yes, Father, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Yes, Father, I have sinned and I need a Savior. That acknowledgement. Be with me, Lord. Be with me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Save me. Well, that's what we have for today. And I want to thank you for listening. And I want to, again, wish you a very Merry Christmas this Christmas week. We'll be back next week. And the plan right now is to start at the very beginning of the Bible. We're going to go through Genesis in the month of January. Last Sunday here, we'll do the last Sunday of December and into January. And I hope you can join us as we go through the Torah, the first five chapters of the Bible, and we'll start again with Genesis. So I'll end in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the celebration of his birth and his coming into this world to save this world. Lord, accept us as we are, and accept us that we come to you as believers. We're out of time for today's program of Reflections. Be sure to listen to us next weekend. We hope that you've enjoyed this program. My name is Jim DeGunis, and I've been reading to you for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of our program is intended for the blind and print impaired. You can find us on our website, NorthCarolinaReadingService.org, North Carolina Reading Service, NCReadingService.org. Thank you. May God bless you and those you love this day and every day.